Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Israel, Past, Present, and Future. God has created physical laws and spiritual laws. Gravity is an example of a physical law. A curse is an example of a spiritual law which brings destruction. The definition of a biblical curse is God speaking negatively, and the result is the absence of a blessing. After the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, God uttered curses against the serpent, Eve, the earth, and Adam. There is an eternal curse that no man can escape, and that is the law of death. Through Adam, we are all condemned to die in our sins. But through Jesus Christ, we have been offered eternal life in heaven. Jesus has a program to reverse the curses spoken to Adam, but it is up to you to implement it in your life and share it with others. This message is entitled, Cursed by God. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And this is October 1st that I'm going to be preaching this message here today. And I'm going to be talking about curses and cursed by God. I realized that most people have never heard a sermon on this. Are curses for real? Or is that an imagination? What is a curse? A curse is a negative statement, the absence of blessings. That is a curse. If you look at the Bible, you find this amazing, that in the very opening chapters of the Bible, when God has just finished his creation, he simply said, I am cursing, I'm damning. And most people, including myself, we read it, didn't think about it, but it does affect us. If you don't break a curse. Let me turn to Genesis 3:14. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse number 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Serpents are cursed. There are people that have serpents as pets. They do not understand that a serpent, I don't care what kind it is a cursed creature. They are damned. They are not good. And who in the world would like to have as a pet, an object, a creature, that God said, you shall be cursed, upon your belly shall you walk. Who would like to have that? And yet people don't understand that God said, this is a curse. Let's talk about women. Verse number 16. Do you know that every woman is cursed from the beginning. The moment a woman is conceived, she is cursed. This is the curse because of Eve. Let's read it. Verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I have greatly multiplied your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. I'm going to be talking later on if curses can't be reversed. But I remember one thing when I read this. I just had come back to Christ about 1965, 66 in Salt Lake City. And I said, you know, a woman shouldn't have to suffer for childbirth because Jesus had broken the curse. But here's what is happening. Because there's no teaching in the churches that curses need to be broken, we do not do them. And so people accept it that, you know, it is going to be tough for a woman to give birth to a child, to carry a child. There is a curse. That curse is there. It can be broken. It needs to be broken. But you see, it is not going to be broken automatically. Just because you got saved does not break that curse. We have to appropriate that. Now, the earth itself is cursed. We read it from verses 17 through 18. And then to Adam is said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, has eaten of the tree which I command you to say, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Have you noticed this? You buy some tomato seeds. You try to put down different things. You try to make a nice lawn. And you notice this. It's hard to get the seed going. You really have to work it. But the weeds grow automatically. Have you noticed this? There's always weeds everywhere. Thorns and thistles. You don't have to worry about, you know, they always grow. And the reason is, there's a curse. Can that curse be broken? As a believer in Christ, we have the power to break that curse. But when was the last time you prayed over your property that you had? Maybe you had a little garden. When was the last time you said, you know, I'm going to pray over my job? I don't have to be cursed. But you see, because we don't understand it, we haven't broken it, we simply let it go and say, well, that's natural. And the fourth one, men, you and I are cursed the moment we are conceived. And you read this from verse number 19. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return unto the ground. For out of it will you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Everything we do is hard. When you go to school as a young boy, it's hard to study. You had to work for it. When we're doing work, jobs, whatever it is, if it's manual labor, if it's office work, work does not come easy. We have to labor hard. And we need to recognize that we are accursed men and women. We are cursed. Mankind is cursed. We are a cursed race. And we need to recognize that we are cursed people. We need to take care of that. But very seldom do we do that because you never heard about this. You read it, but it simply went over your head and you didn't think that this still applied to you and me today. When will these curses be lifted? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. That is Isaiah chapter 11. And the answer is, in a thousand-year kingdom. Now, I can guarantee you this. There's going to be no weeds in a thousand-year kingdom. Whatever grows is going to be good. So we read here from 11, 1 through 12. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse was the father of King David. He was the son of Obadiah and Ruth. And so it was prophesied here that out of him shall come forth a root, Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And now, the thousand-year kingdom. This is a description of Jesus. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, which is a viper. They shall not hurt nor destroy it all by holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In a day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That was written 700 years before Christ. And we know today that this prophecy about Jesus has been fulfilled. The Son of God has come to the earth. He lived, he died, he rose from the dead, and he paid for our sins. And the thousand-year kingdom, these curses we talked about today, shall be gone. But they are still here now. Let's turn to Isaiah 35 and get just a little bit more information about this. And I want to go up to verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice in with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God. Let me make a mention here so you understand that. Carmel and Sharon, 700 years before Christ, lush trees, vegetation. It was not barren as it is in Israel today. The rains were coming in, the early rains, the latter rains. And this was a matter of fact, all of what is Israel today was like a lush forest with fields, greens, bushes, all kind of fruit trees. It was a very beautiful place. You look at it today, it is cursed. They tried to plant new trees. They tried to, what do you call it, irrigation. Try to bring it back. But God said, in a thousand-year kingdom, it shall be restored. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And the highway shall be there, and the way shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, which shall be for those, the way for our men. The fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This we can look forward to. That's in the thousand-year kingdom. Let's turn to Revelation 1:6. I'm going to skip one scripture there. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 through 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set the seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed till the season. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received the mark of his foreheads, were in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is what we're going to look forward to. But we're not there yet. So praise God, in the thousand-year kingdom, no curse. It will be curse-free time. Satan bound. No demons. No fallen angels. No evil. Goodness. The earth restored. As it was before Adam and Eve sinned. Beautiful place. We got 1,000 years there, and we're going to have a great time. But we're not there. Let's talk about now. Let's talk about the law of death. Back to Genesis chapter 2. The law of death is the strongest curse that God spoke to mankind. If you read here from verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's the law of death. Adam and Eve didn't pay attention to that. They didn't understand that. God simply said this. If you do this, you will die. I curse you. I damn you. They worked around, happy, didn't think about it. Satan came, tricked Eve. Adam was stupid enough because he wanted to stay with his wife. That's what he ate. And now, they died spiritually. They didn't die physically at that time. They died spiritually. 900 years later, Adam's body died. And his soul left the earth. We don't know when Eve died. This is the law that affects all of us. Now, as I studied the human body some years ago, here's what I found out. When a child is conceived, at the age of 7, every cell in that child has been replaced. At the age of 7, the child has a brand new body. At the age of 14, another 7 years, that child now has, every cell has been replaced again. And the child has a brand new body. At the age of 21, the young man and young woman again have a brand new body. Every cell has been replaced. That is when you reach the pinnacle of your life. Because after 21, the 100% replacement stops. And for every 7 years after that, less and less of your cells are renewed. That's what they call the aging process. No one can tell. There's a program which is tied to the law of death, that you can never prolong the body's life. All of you that are over 21, welcome to the club. We are dying. That's just reality. Now, we can die healthy. We don't have to die sick. We cannot reverse the wrinkles, the gray hair, the balding stuff on the top of our heads. We can pray over it. But you know what? It's a steady decline. But you can have your strength. Your body will look a bit ragged, just like a car you have to run down. But we are in a dying position. I want to read Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. And as is appointed to men, once to die, but after this, the judgment. Enter now Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the antidote to the law of death. That's the good news. So, if you look upon the outline here, number one, every human being on earth eventually will die when his body ceases to function. And the second thing is, we find in Revelation chapter 20, is that everyone whose life, whose name is now written in the book of life, is going to end up in a lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What we need to do as Christians is to understand that every human being, unless you have accepted Christ and been born again, will die physically. And there will be a second death to be cast into the lake of fire. You still be alive in a lake of fire. But it's a second death because there's no hope. You would be there forever, tormented. Very much alive. Tormented. Not for 1,000 years. Not for 10 million years. not for a zillion years, but forever and ever and ever and ever. We need to have that to sink in from our physical brain into our soul brain and into our understanding. This is a horrible thing. It's an awful thing. And when you look upon the unsaved people, no, this is their fate. Let's talk about the law of life now. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. And I want to pick it up in verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse number 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That does not refer to the law of Moses. That does not refer to the law of Noah. That refers to the law of death. You got to understand that. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Listen close to them. You stand. When you came to Christ and you repented of your sins and you realized that Jesus was the Son of God, he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and that you could be saved. The moment you accepted Christ, your spirit, your dead spirit, was born again, and the curse of the law of death was removed automatically. Let me rerun that. When you got saved, the curse of the law of death was automatically removed from us. We don't have to do anything to remove that. When you get saved, that is removed. That's the curse that has been removed. The rest of them, we have to remove ourselves. Christ has redeemed us for the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is the law of life. We have the law of death. We have the law of life. The law of life is stronger than the law of death. And all we have to do is to receive Christ, to be born again, to repent of our sins, to turn away from our evil ways, and be born again. And automatically, we are no longer under the curse. That should make somebody say, hallelujah. Well, do you realize how much God has done for us? Let's turn up to Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. Verse 14, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even with them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is a figure of him to come. And then we go down to verse number 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundant grace of the gift of righteousness reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus has set us free. Now Jesus is the door to God the Father in heaven. And let's just look at John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And when you go, I know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. We have nothing else. In the world, you sell products, you do things. The product of Christianity is Jesus Christ. Crucified, resurrected, the Son of God. That is our product. In the New Testament, Jesus never said, I want you to build orphanages. I want you to have rescue missions. I want you to have all kind of benevolent work. I want you to drill wells for the people that need water. I want you to do all these different things. Those are side dishes. They come out of good works. But the product is Jesus Christ. But that's what we preach. That's what we teach. That's what you witness about. And this is what every church should be about. First of all, Jesus Christ. The other thing we do out of good works. But that not, no one gets saved. If you and I would go to Africa and we would spend our lifetime drilling wells to make sure that the people had clean water to drink and they all die and go to hell, what have we done? Nothing. But if we give them Jesus first and then the water, now we've done something. We have to have our priority correct. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 16, we read this, for where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. So Jesus have died. He has risen. And then we read this. Verse number 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, with the heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often to the high priest enter the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As he was once appointed to men, once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him should he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The next thing I want to talk about now is, can God's curses be reversed? Is it possible to have them reversed? The law of death has been reversed if we come to Christ and are born again. There is one portion of the law of death that has not been reversed, our physical body. And you know what? We ought to be thankful that this body is going to die. Would you like to live in eternity with this sinful body that we had here on this earth? I want a new body. I don't want this old sinful body. I don't want my sinful nature. I want to get rid of it. And this is why our bodies must die. But that's good news. You see, God, when I say God is smart, that's an understatement. I mean, God is wisdom. What did God say when he talked to Jesus and the Holy Ghost? He said this, "So they have eaten of the fruit that I told them not to. Now, let's kick them out of the garden, lest they go and eat of the tree of life, and their bodies will live forever." So he kicked them out, and the tree of life was protected, and it died with a flood. That was merciful, because can you imagine having a sinful body for eternity? The people in hell would have that. They're going to get a resurrected body of shame that will last them for eternity. We will get the glorified body. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we read about Lazarus. Now, Lazarus died. His body died. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was at Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then we go down to verse number 11. "These things said he, and after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." So now, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The law of death operating. His body had died. We do not know. Most likely he was a disciple. He was saved. But Jesus came. If you read this from verse number 39, Jesus said, "Take you away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto you that if you believe, you should see the glory of God? Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloth. And his face was bound by a napkin. Jesus unto them, loose him and let him go." Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, but he died again. His physical body died again. All the people from the first century are gone. Everybody in the time past are gone. There's only two people that survived on this earth, Elijah and Enoch. They were taken alive to heaven. but everybody else has died and will die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to pick it up here in verse number 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on corruption, and his mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So the sting of death has begun. And then I want to pick it up here in verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So we have to leave our bodies. Can we reverse curses? Let's start on that. Begin in Matthew chapter 10. That's Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. And when he called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then we go to verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We have the power now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Yes. If there needs be, if somebody dies and it's not their time to die, we have the power to raise them from the dead. Amen. Temporarily. We have that power. We have the power to heal the sick. Sickness is a curse. And Jesus said, go and heal the sick. We have the power to break these curses in the name of Jesus. I can do it because I have been saved. I am born again. I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have got the power of God. I've been simply commissioned to do the thing, and so have you if you are saved and born again. Freely we have received, freely give. Cleanse the lepers. Those were cursed. People said, well, that's just one scripture. Well, turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we pick it up in verse chapter 9. That's Luke chapter 9. Have you read this? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Same thing. They were given that same power. If you turn up to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed all the 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but labors are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then we pick it up in verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit is subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. We have the power to destroy curses in our lives. in the lives of people that are saved, that come for deliverance. I want you to say verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid this thing from the wise and the prudent, have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Have you noticed this? The big preachers, those that had the masses, television evangelists, famous pastors, they don't talk about this. They talk about other things, but they don't talk about this because it has been hidden from them. When you try to be smart, secular, moving in the flesh, God simply says, I just leave that person alone. The Holy Spirit says, I ain't over there. They just are left alone. And they walk around powerless instead of having the power. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I want to talk to you now what you can do. Let's say now that you are having a job. Let's say you're a manual laborer. You might be an office worker. You might, whatever you do, whatever your profession is, remember this. There is a curse upon our labor. It's a curse. That can be broken through Christ. You have the power to simply say this. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to labor in the sweat and hard times. I'm not going to do that because I have been born again. I've been set free from the law of death. And Jesus has given me the power to simply break every curse that comes against me. If you're a woman of childbearing, you can begin to proclaim right now that I'm not under the curse of Eve any longer. I've been born again. I've been saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not have to have that curse. I break that curse right now. I am blessed with Abraham. I am blessed in Christ Jesus. But how many times do you hear that preach from the pulpits? So they don't do that. We can be blessed when we drive. We can be blessed in our homes. Whatever we do, we can break these curses that were negative upon us as mankind. Matthew 28. I've read it so many times, you should know it by heart. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How much power? All power. Keep your finger there and flip quickly to Revelation chapter 1, from verse number 17. And when I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not. You hear that? Fear not. From the first to the last. I am he that lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He got it all. Amen. All the power. The keys to hell and death. Back to Matthew 28 now. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We go out to witness. Baptizing them in water after they get saved. And now, verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things which I ever commanded you. And lo, I am with you for 2 years. No. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Has the end of the world come? No. So Jesus said, I'll be with you. Teach them, he told his disciples, everything I told you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Everything I told you, teach your disciples. They teach their disciples. They teach their disciples. For until the end of the world, it stands. All right, now. So now you got this knowledge. What are you going to do? Remember this now. Whatever you are putting your hand to, if it is a sickness, if it's a court case, if it is a job situation, if it is a test where you have to take a test, whatever it is, you have the power, the right to break all curses over it. And say in the name of Jesus, I break every curse over these different projects. I declare a blessing upon this now. I am going to be blessed coming in. I'm going to be blessed going out. I am no longer cursed. But you got to apply that. You got to appropriate it. Or it will not affect you. Because, you see, who carries out these curses? Satan does. The fallen angels. The demons. They carry those curses out. And they will simply say, well, that person is stupid. He's not applying, you know, the power he has, you know, so let's hit him hard. Let's wipe them out. Put some fear into them. Get them confused. And, you know, then we are dancing, you know. You know, can't handle it. So stand your ground. Understand what you got. And simply declare today that I am no longer a cursed man or woman. I am blessed. When we do deliverance, we spend quite a bit of time. There are 92 biblical curses that God has spoken. There are other curses than what we talk about here today. Most people never break them. So, you know, the curse is carried on. That's why we struggle. Then you have the curses spoken by other people against you. Then you have curses you spoke yourself. Then you have generational curses. And I'm going to flip right now to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And you read this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You should have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Listen closely now. God said this, if you sin, there will be a four-generation curse. I've had men and women coming to me, godly people, and they said, you know, my children, you know, one child died, you know, this happened, that happened, and, you know, I have all these different things, and why has it happened to me? What have I done? It's not your fault. You're cursed. Four generations. And we need to understand that we need to break those curses. Otherwise, you're going to suffer. Remember now, the curse of the law of death is broken automatically the moment you get saved. But the rest of them, you have to break or they will still be there. You understand that? Most people have never gone through deliverance. Most people have not broken the curses. And therefore, you are struggling. You don't know four generations back what your ancestors did. They could have been involved in incest. They could have been involved in Freemasonry. They could have been involved in witchcraft. They could have been involved, you know, born out of wedlock. There's a 10th generation birth on that. There's a lot of things. And yet this is not preached from the pulpit. So people simply do not do this. So then people say, you know, why is this happening? Why do I have this sickness? Why do my children go wrong? Why can I have this? Why do I lose this money? Why? And the answer is, you are cursed. And people say, I don't believe that. Fine. Keep your curses. And then God said this. And showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. So here's what I want you to take home today. It was kind of a little bit disjointed message here today. Here's what I want you to take home with you. The curse of the law of death is broken through Christ. When you come to Jesus and you get saved, automatically you are no longer under the law. You're free. You're going to heaven. You have eternal life. All the other law still stands. All the other curses still stands. You have to appropriate them. And if you don't appropriate them, you're going to live a life. It's like if you got a car with 8 cylinders and you're running on 3. You know, that engine's going, you know. That's how people run most of their lives. You know, not very well. And they go around and say, you know, I don't understand that, you know. It's very simple. You're cursed. Everything I taught you today was in the Bible, right? I didn't use my book. It's in here. So why don't we do it? Well, let me ask you this. Does anyone have to tell you to take a shower every day if you live in America? Now, if you live in Sweden, that's a different story. When I grew up, we took a bath once a week. Every Saturday morning, we all marched down to the bathhouse. And, you know, women in one place, men in one place, you know, we took a bath. If we needed it or not, that's once a week. But here in America, most people take a shower every day, right? So why do you do that? Well, you know, first of all, you like to feel clean. Secondly, you don't like somebody to go, you smell. You know, you've got to be clean. So, you know, we do it. You brush your teeth, you know. We do stuff, you know, you don't want to come up to somebody, you know, you're talking to them, they fall over dead, you know, bad breath. You know, so you take care of that. So there's certain things we know how to take care of. But then we walk around, you know, like this, we just bound up, you know, and by curses, you know, and we says, you know, well, I'm on my way to heaven, you know, I'm doing pretty good. And some say, why do you break those curses? Really? I can do that? Yes, you can. So, it's up to you. You got the word? It's up to you. If you want to walk like a cripple, fine. But if you want to run, break the curses. So you're saying there, well, I'm not saved. You're saying this, you know, I'm not really saved. How do I get into this program? It's so easy. Here's what you do. All you have to do is to recognize that you're a sinner. That should not be hard. That you need to be forgiven. Simply say, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he rose on the third day. I believe he took away my sins. My Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Forgive me. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. I want to be born again. And you will. That's as simple as this. Now, I'm going to make it a little easier. When we finish here, Brother Charles Durrell is going to come. And he's going to share with you some Bible verses And then after that, he will lead you in a prayer. And you pray that prayer, and you will be saved for sure. Now, here's a good, this is an announcement I'm going to make. All you folks that are out there, and you hear me say, Brother Charles could come, but you can't see him. Next week, in this pulpit, you will see Charles Terrell. Three Sundays in a row, you're going to see Brother Charles Terrell preach. He's a good preacher. I've been training him since 1999. That's 27 years. And I tell you what, he's not like me. He has his own personality. And but I tell you what, he's a good preacher. You're going to see him. So be sure to tune in next Sunday. I'll be in San Diego, but Charles Terrell will be here. And the team, the people up here will be here, and they will have a service, and you will enjoy his preaching. Praise the Lord. I hope that you got enough sense that you says, I'm going to look into this. I'm going to break some curses right now. May God bless you. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this opportunity to be here today, to hear and study the Word of God. We thank you, Father God, that the Bible has the answer to every problem there is. And application needs to be done, Lord. And we lift up Pastor John as he goes on his trip for teaching, that you will give him safety on the road, bless him as he goes, also that he will have a good time being away from the normal routine, and many will be blessed by the seminar down there. And then also we want to thank you, Father God, that we enjoy the blessings that we do enjoy. We all have something to be thankful for every day. We lift up the situation down in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean and all these devastated places that, number one, that these people will recognize that they need not look to the government as their daddy and be prepared on their own. And also that they will reach out to Jesus Christ, the Savior for all of mankind. And we thank you for some life-changing events happening there, Lord. Also want to lift up to you Francis Schaefer Cox as his appeal process goes forward. I do believe he will be released. And like Jonah, he will, when he hits the beach, he'll be off and running, doing the will of God. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that supernaturally the hand of God will move and he will be released from that prison cell. It's a place where nothing happens except for, you know, self-study, I guess would be the word. And we lift up every political prisoner in the United States to you and around the world. We thank you for their releases, Lord. We lift up the swamp. This is the word that's common today in America. And we thank you, Father God, that things will be returned to righteousness and honor and integrity. We lift up President Trump also to you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, as he's being berated left and right, that you would strengthen him, give him wisdom, give them insight, give them knowledge, give them understanding. And we thank you for guiding him, Lord, and being able to help him to be able to stand tall against the onslaught. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see,
God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation, who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 14th part in the series, Israel, Past, Present, and Future, and was entitled, Cursed by God. The definition of a biblical curse is God speaking negatively, and the result is the absence of a blessing. Whatever is cursed withers and eventually dies. God warned about a curse immediately after He finished the creation of Adam. The curse is known as the law of death. Adam and Eve, the serpent, and even the earth were all cursed after the fall of mankind. These curses spoken by God in the garden not only apply to you, but also to your offspring, up to the fourth generation. Humanity is condemned to die because of Adam's transgression, but Jesus Christ has offered eternal life through His death and resurrection. Jesus became a curse on the cross so you and I could be set free. Curses can be nullified while on earth, but it is up to each Christian to believe and appropriate God's blessings, because they do not come automatically. Jesus has commissioned us to tell the world the good news that the law of death has been conquered. Sickness can be cured. Demons can be cast out. The blind can receive their sight. The lame can walk. And the dead can be raised. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1619. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.